Welcome back to Project Likutei Siches. We are doing volume 11 for Parshas Boy. It is the first Sicha for Parshas Boy on page 34. This one is not a Sicha about Rashi, rather the Rebbe analyzes a fundamental rule in the laws of Yom Tov. I think it's generally known that on Shabbos, we're not allowed to cook or do anything to promote cooking. On Yom Tov, we may cook. Now, that comes from a posuk in this week's parsha, where the idea of Yom Tov comes up for the first time in Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the people before they're about to leave Mitzrayim, and he's telling them that they should prepare. First of all, they must prepare a korban pesach, and then they must prepare for the day that they're going to leave. But the day that they're going to leave, which is the 15th of Nisan, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kol meloch lo yiyosa bohem." No work at all may be done in those days. Ach asher ye'osa l'chol nefesh, only that which is done to sustain life. Ho levado ye'osa lochem, that alone shall be done for you. Again, kol meloch lo ye'osa b'hem, no work may be done on the first day of Pesach, which that year was the only day of Pesach. And the work is not allowed to be done, but ach, which is an exception, asher ye'osa l'chol nefesh, whatever is done to sustain every life, something which is done for the sake of sustenance, for food, that alone may be done in that day. Now, looking at it at first glance, what do we see? It says all malachas are forbidden. That which is done for the sake of sustaining life and nourishment, that may be done. So, that might sound like that really and truly all malachas, all 39 categories of work which are forbidden for Shabbos would likewise be forbidden on Yom Tov, except that the need for cooking for Yom Tov and providing for Yom Tov meals and feasts outweighs the consideration that one should not do malachas. So those malachas are permissible on Yom Tov. So for example, you're not going to weave for the sake of nourishment, nor build, nor write. These are not things which you would do for nourishment, and therefore they are forbidden on Yom Tov like they are on Shabbos. But melachas such as kneading dough, baking, cooking, various steps in the processing of food, those are permissible. Why? Now, this is an important question. Why are they permissible? Because they are necessary in order to provide sustenance. Now, I'm going to share with you a screen. With four alternative ways of understanding this prohibition of doing food production melachas on Yom Tov. The one way we've just said, all work is forbidden on Yom Tov, but the necessity of providing food overrides the prohibition. Doesn't make it permissible to cook, but that which is done to provide food, such as cooking, makes it permissible for the person to do, although the melacha itself is still forbidden. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two. There are 39 categories of melacha on Shabbos. Of those, generally, there are those who by their very nature are food production melachas, like cooking, baking. And there are those like building, weaving, which have nothing to do with food by their nature. So when the Eibishter said, don't do melacha on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, sorry, don't do melacha on Yom Tov, what kind of melacha did he mean? He meant the kind of non-food production categories of melacha, but the categories, as the category of melacha, which is generally for the sake of food production, does not feature on Yom Tov at all. There's no overriding. There's no permission. The difference between the different kinds of melacha are a sign. The fact that a certain activity fits in under the category of kneading, and kneading is a generally a food production melacha. Therefore, kneading as a category of work doesn't come up as far as Yom Tov is concerned, as far as the melacha of kneading is concerned. Yom Tov is exactly the same as a regular weekday. Where would we get that idea? Because as opposed to the postik that I mentioned before, where the third introduced his Pesach and says, no work shall be done, only that which is necessary for, let's keep it short, food production may be done. As opposed to that pasuk further on at the end of Chumash Vayikra, when the Torah enumerates all the different Yomim Tovim throughout the year, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is different. There, the Torah says, concerning each one of those Yomim Tovim, kol melechas avoido lo istasu. Do not do melechas, work of avoido. Sounds again like work. So what kind of work is work? So the Ramban on that pasuk says that there are two kinds of work in a person's life. There's the work to which he is in servitude, so to speak. And the word avoide is related to the word eved, a servant. And avoide is servitude. So there are kinds of work which are kind of promoting society. Building, sewing, weaving. Those are jobs, people's occupations. Then there's another category of melacha called meleches hano'o, pleasure work. If you want to have pleasure, if you want to eat and drink or whatever other pleasure, you're going to have to invest work to make the item serve your purposes. You'll have to knead the dough, you'll have to bake it in an oven. So you're investing, but what are you investing in? Your own pleasure. Says the Ramban, that is not meleches avoido. That is not what Torah forbade when it says, kol meleches avoido lo istasa, don't do any job work. These categories of work, which are for food production, are inherently not job work, they are pleasure work, and therefore they were never included in the prohibition to do work on Yom Tov. So here we have two possibilities, the number one and number two. Let's just go through number two, which is the way that Ramban sees it, that of the 39 categories of Shabbos work, Only those which are job work, such as building, sewing, writing, God forbid. Leisure work, such as kneading and baking, is not in this category. As far as pleasure work is concerned, Yom Tov is like a weekday. So there are very different ways of approaching this idea that melacha may be done on Yom Tov for food production. Let's talk about one practical difference that will arise out of the way we view whether the first or the second way. Suppose a person is fasting on Yom Tov. There is a legitimate way to fast on Yom Tov. I won't go into that. But here it is. It is Sukkot, and the person is not going to eat that day. Is he allowed to cook? Whatever he cooks will not be for the purpose of eating. He's fasting. So if we say that the work for food production is permissible because it will lead to the person's sustenance, and that's why the Torah permitted it, and it overrides the prohibition of work on Shabbos. Although really all kinds of melacha are forbidden on Yom Tov, override the prohibition of work on Yom Tov. Although really all categories of work are forbidden on Yom Tov, if we say that, then in the case of the person who's fasting, there's nothing to override the prohibition of doing work. It's not for the purpose of eating. However, if we say that those kinds of work which are done for food production are not included in the prohibition of doing work on Yom Tov in the first place, that's not about whether he's going to use it for food production. It's about the nature of the melacha. Cooking is a food preparation work by its very definition. And therefore, even if the person is fasting and he won't have any benefit from the food that he's going to eat that day, he's allowed to cook because cooking is permissible on Yom Tov as a category of work, and likewise all the other categories which represent food production work. Now, here we start looking at our sources. The Rebbe brings a source in Gemara and another source in the commentators. The Gemara which deals with Yom Tov, it's called Mesechta Beya, the egg that was laid on Yom Tov, but many Rishonim actually called it Mesechta Yom Tov. So it deals with all the different laws of Yom Tov, and there, on Daf Yud based on Medalev, page 12a, we find an argument in a Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say that you must not carry out of the house a child, a lulav, a sefer Torah, into a public place in the Rishus HaRabim, because you're doing melacha, and the melacha is not going to lead to any enjoyment of food. That is Beis Shammai's position, that unless you're carrying for the sake of a meal, you're not allowed to carry. Beis Hillel say it's okay. In explaining their position, Beis Hillel say, "Mitoich shehutro letzoirech," because this melacha was permitted for the sake of food. Like if you're going to your friends or neighbors or cousins for a Yom Tov meal and you're going to take the food to them, or vice versa, they're coming to you. So then the carrying is for the sake of Oichel Nefesh, for the sake of eating Yom Tov meals. So because they based Hillel, carrying was permitted for the sake of Oichel Nefesh, it is also permitted not for the sake of Oichel Nefesh. What kind of logic is that? Because it was permitted for Oichel Nefesh, so it's permitted also if it's not for Oichel Nefesh. How does that work? says the Rebbe, perhaps Beit Hillel maintains, like the Ramban that we quoted a few minutes ago, that when work is permissible on Yom Tov for the sake of food production, it's not that this action is going to lead to food production. It's that the work that you're doing, by its nature, its character, is work done to produce food, such as kneading and baking. Caring, perhaps, as well. That social interaction. How do people get together? If they're going to feast together, they're going to join each other to celebrate Yom Tov, so they need to carry. That's what Beit Hillel holds, that there are two kinds of categories, work production work and job work, like the Ramban said. Once an action is classified under the heading of food production work, it is permissible even though you're not doing it for the sake of producing food, such as carrying a lulav into the street. No one's eating anything here, and nevertheless, you're allowed to carry the lulav, stay based Hillel, because carrying has become permitted. That's the way it would seem. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, who takes a more limited view and say that only if you're actually taking out food or something for the sake of the meal, then and only then are you permitted to take it out from the house into the street. But an item which is not part of your food production may not be taken out. So they maintain that the idea of food production is the reason, the cause of why this work is permissible, although ordinarily all kinds of work are forbidden on Yom Tov. So why are you allowed to do this kneading of the challah? Because you need it, an EED, for the sake of the Yom Tov meal. So let's say something which is not for the sake of the Yom Tov meal, you go back to the default position, which is that all melach is forbidden. Okay, so far, what have we done? We've lined up Beis Shammai with idea number one, that all work is forbidden Yom Tov, but the necessity of providing food overrides the prohibition. But all kinds of work are forbidden on Yom Tov. And we lined up Beit Hillel, who say that once something is permissible for the sake of food production, it is permissible even not for the sake of food production, like carrying a lulav outside. They maintain that it's the category of work that counts. Since carrying has become permissible as a means of transporting the needs of your meals on Yom Tov, then as a category, carrying is permissible. So you're allowed to do it even if you are not particularly doing it for the sake of your Yom Tov meal. So we have two ways of understanding the permission to do work of food production on Yom Tov, and those two ways seem to be behind the argument of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether one is allowed to carry non-food items into the Rishus Torabim. Now we get a little more sticky. Within Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, as usual, that once something is permissible, once work is permissible for the sake of food production, it's also permissible not for the sake of food production, and one may carry a lulav or a sefer Torah into the street, although it has nothing to do with food production. So the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now we have a sub argument. So the higher level argument is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. About 600-700 years later, Rashi and Tosafos argue, in the opinion of Beis Hillel, what is it that Beis Hillel permits? Are you allowed to take out of the house something for which you have no need whatsoever? For example, You have a ring of keys to your office in your pocket. Now, on Yom Tov, you're not going to the office, of course. But what's going to happen? The keys remain in your pocket. And when you walk outside the house, perhaps on the way to shul, perhaps for a visit, you're carrying the keys in the shul, to rab him in the public domain, which is a melacha. But the Beit Hillel said that you're allowed to do the melacha of carrying, even not for the sake of food production, because the melacha of carrying is permissible. Wait a minute. You can't apply that across the board. It is only permissible if there's some need for Yom Tov. A lulav you need on Yom Tov, on Sukkot. A Sefer Torah you need, you're going to read from it. A child is going to go with you. Or you're going to take it back to its mother. But there's some need to carry it on Yom Tov. But an object for which you have absolutely no need at all on Yom Tov remains forbidden to carry. Now, Rashi is pretty straightforward. Anything that you want to carry, you need it, you don't need it, doesn't matter. Carrying is permissible on Yom Tov because it is necessary for sharing meals. Okay, making meals. There's no restriction there. You don't need any kind of Yom Tov need in order to permit the act of carrying this object into the street. But Tosfos is difficult to understand. Why does Tosfos restrict the permission to carry non-food production items? You're only allowed to if you have some need for it on Yom Tov. What does some need for it mean? Either it's forbidden to carry outside unless you need it for your food, or it's permitted altogether because that category of work, although it's so carrying, doesn't apply on Yom Tov. Where did this slight need come from in Tosafos? Within that, instead we could understand Tosafos' understanding of Beit Hillel in one of two ways. The first is number three. Pleasure work is indeed a category on its own, like the Ramban said. But maybe Tosfos will hold that the Beit Hillel holds of the explanation that the Ramban gave. Now, keep track. Beit Hillel is many, many, many years before the Ramban. But the idea that Ramban puts forward in explaining the two words melechas avoda, that idea could be behind Beit Hillel's permission to carry non-food items into the street. At any rate, so getting back to Tosfos' understanding of Beit Hillel, yeah, Beit Hillel learned that carrying is a category of work which has become permissible on Yom Tov because of its connection and need for, we need it for the sake of Yom Tov meals. But what makes something a pleasure work or job work? It's not, says the Rebbe, we could suggest, it's not the act itself. It's the person's intention. How can I call a person carrying things out, loads out of the house, a non-melecha, but a pleasure, if it has nothing, it benefits him not at all? How is it a pleasure kind of work? If a person wants to benefit from it, Never mind whether it's the benefit of a meal or some benefit, but at least you can describe it as pleasure work. But if there's no benefit at all, it's useless. The ring of keys to the office, then it's not because of the person's mental definition of his action, it's not a pleasure work. Rashi will maintain, Rashi who said that there are no restrictions on Beis Hillel, that you may carry whatever it is that you want into the street, even if there's no need for it on Yom Tov at all. Rashi will learn that when we have two different categories of work, pleasure work and job work, what defines pleasure work? It is defined by the action. The act of kneading is a pleasure work. The act of building is job work. But Tosef says that the need is the category is defined by a person's definition of what it is. Is it a job work for the person because he doesn't need it at all? Or is it pleasure work because he has some need of it? That way, we're able to retain our idea that Tosfos understands Beis Hillel as agreeing with the Ramban. The difference is that Tosfos has a different way than from Rashi in defining what makes something a pleasure work. And it, according to Tosfos, that is the person's intention. So if you have no intention whatsoever of using the item on Yom Tov, then carrying it is not pleasure work. That's possibility number one. It's number three, but it's number one in understanding why Tosfos doesn't want to allow, even according to Beis Hillel, doesn't want to allow a person to carry things into the street if he had no use for them. Why is that? Because according to Tosfos, if the person has no need, that redefines the action as job work. Last one. Four. Another way of understanding Tosfos's understanding of Beis Hillel, which will be important for reasons which we'll soon see. It'll help us in ways which we'll soon see. Four. It is not a separate category. Kneading is not a different kind of work. Not like Ramban, according to Tosfos. But once one does it, he need not stint to do no more than what he needs. So imagine if you're baking a challah, you know, the challah is like a Sheva Brachos sized challah. It's not going to be eaten today. There's too much of it for everybody to eat it today. So you know for sure that it won't be eaten today. Are you allowed to put that challah in the oven as big as it is? Yes. That's what the statement of Beis Hillel means. Once the melacha is permissible for the sake of food production, it's not limited to food production, even if it's more than what you need to produce. It's still permissible. Imagine if you have a sheep. You want to make a lamb for Yom Tov. So one of the melachas which are permissible Yom Tov is shechita. You can't eat meat without shechting it. But let's say the person wants one lamb chop. But you can't shecht a lamb chop. If you want a lamb chop, you have to shecht the entire sheep. Or lamb. So that's what Beis Hillel say. Mitoch shehutra letzoyrech, hutra nami shaloy letzoyrech. once it was permitted for the steak, not as a category, but it was permitted for the steak of food production, it becomes entirely permissible. And you're allowed to have even more than the amount that you're going to enjoy. If so, then even a partial oichel nefesh, like part of the challah, part of the animal, it also permits you to do malocha on the whole animal, the whole challah. Likewise, a partial enjoyment, suggests the Rebbe, according to Tosafot, according to Beis Hillel. We don't need the enjoyment completely of eating of food, even a partial enjoyment. Enjoyment is always, food is always considered the highest level of enjoyment. Other forms of enjoyment fall under those prohibited things which were prohibited to eat. Some of them were also prohibited to derive benefit from, but the chief category is the benefit and the enjoyment of the object as food. So it does have to be the enjoyment of food, which is the pleasure that permits you to do the work, even if it's only a partial pleasure, such as you need to stay a brocha on a lulav. You want to help someone else to stay a brocha on a lulav. So you're deriving pleasure from the fact that you're free to carry the lulav from your house into the street. Likewise with a child. You're not locked at home because you can take the child in a carriage anywhere. So that's a partial oichel nefesh, qualitatively, not quantitatively. When we talked about one part of the challah in a whole big challah, that's partial quantitatively. Some of the challah, some of the animal. What we mean here partially is qualitatively. It's not the full complement of hanoah which a person would get, the pleasure which a person would get out of eating his meal, but it's a partial pleasure. He has some need. That's what Beis Hillel say. But if a person has no need, continuing Tosafot's logic, according to this understanding, then there's nothing which clears out the prohibition of doing work on Shabbos, because according to this understanding, all kinds of work are prohibited. It's only that the pleasure permits you to do it for the sake of pleasure. So they still say, what kind of pleasure? It can be the pleasure not only of eating, it can be the pleasure of mitzvah, the pleasure, well, that's a dicey term. You'll get into the discussion of mitzvahs. Leonis nitnu alav, leonis nitnu. At any rate, you'll have the benefit of having the lulav where you need it or the child where you want it to be and so forth. That's the way Tosafot understands Beis Hillel's understanding of the permission to do things for the sake of food production. Now, where this comes in very handy is in understanding a feast in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, which at first glance is very puzzling and self-contradictory. What is that? The Alter Rebbe says in his Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Yom Tov, he writes, the first and seventh day of Pesach and the Yom Tov of Shavuos, etc., the other Yomim Toivim, they are called Yomim Toivim, and whoever does melocha, what kind of melocha? Melecha Tavoido, job work, in one of those days, he raised the loike min ha-toiri, he's culpable from Malkus min ha-toiri, shenemar, kom melecha Tavoido, lo istasu, do not do melecha Tavoido. If a person did it, he violated that negative commandment. The Rebbe continues, Umahu Melechas Tavoida, what is in fact the Melechas Tavoida which a person is forbidden to do on Yom Tov? Now, carefully. Kol melacha sheina nasis ba'oichel oimashkim. Any work not done with food or drink. Al-Rebbe continues. Avol kol melacha hanasis ba'oichel oimashkim. Work, any work done with food or drink. Those kinds of work are nikroim. Kol melachas elu, all these kinds of work are called melachas oichel nefesh, food production work. Now the crucial phrase, shat Torah, hitiro, Torah permitted la soisto, doing that kind of work, food production work, le Torah achilas yom tev, for the need, for the sake of eating on Yom Tov, as the pasuk says in our parsha, boy, no melacha shall be done, only that which is necessary for nourishment, for sustenance, that alone may be done. Now, it sounds like the Alter Rebbe starts off with the first of the four pathways that we pointed out, that all work is really forbidden on Yom Tov, whether it's for food production, not food production. All categories of work are forbidden Yom Tov. But if you're doing it for the sake of food production, that overrides the prohibition of doing work on Yom Tov. That's what the end of the Alter Rebbe's paragraph sounds like. HaTorah hitira, Torah permitted doing these food production labors, let Torah for the sake of achilas Yom Tov, for the sake of eating on Yom Tov, and he quotes the pasuk. So there's no difference in categories between that permissible categories of work, permissible on Yom Tov, and forbidden categories of work. All categories of work are forbidden unless they're needed for food production. But the beginning of the Alter Rebbe's paragraph is that whoever does melechet avoy, the job work on Yom Tov, is liable, is culpable. What is melechet avoy? Job work, any kind of work, not done with food and drink. If it's done with food and drink, then it is called pleasure work. So the Alter Rebbe is the dividing melachas in two categories. And he seems to be saying that pleasure work was not forbidden in the first place. So which is it? Does the Alter Rebbe hold like Ramban or not? So the Rebbe explains, after discussing the idea of the Bisham and Beis Hillel, Rebbe comes back and explains that the Alter Rebbe holds like the fourth way we've explained it. It's not a separate category, but once a person does it, it's okay, even if he had only a partial benefit. And that's where the Alter Rebbe explains the psukim. Kol melacha lo yehoseh bohem, no work may be done on Yom Tov, means no work. Ach asher yehoseh l'chol nefesh, but that which is done for sustenance, hu levado yehoseh lochem, that alone may be done for you on Yom Tov, you may have done on Yom Tov, which means that, as we learned before, a partial need, a partial benefit, kind of a partial enjoyment, like the enjoyment of food, even if it's an enjoyment of a different type, if you need it on Yom Tov, that will permit the doing of that melacha, because Torah didn't tell you you have to stop exactly after you have enough for that day's meal. No doubles. The Torah doesn't say that. But therefore, we learn that even a partial oichel nefesh also permits the melacha. That's the gist of the Rebbe's explanation of the Tzillul of Tosefos of the Alter Rebbe's Halacha. Now the Rebbe turns, as he often does, what is the Hoiroa b'Avodas Hashem? What lesson do we learn in our serving Hashem, whether you understand the permission to do work on Yom Tov this way or that way? What difference does it make in our life as Jews? So the Rebbe explains, according to the way we've understood it, really all work is done, is forbidden on Yom Tov. Doesn't matter what category. But Hashem was so concerned with a person's Hayid's happiness and feasting and celebration on Yom Tov that for the sake of his not being hampered in celebrating, Hashem permitted all kinds of work which involve food production. So this shows us how important, how precious Hayid's celebration is in Hashem's eyes. Now, taking it that one step further, we know, especially from the Alter Rebbe and Likutei Torah, that every Yom Tov has the lingering afterglow of the light of that Yom Tov. It lingers after Yom Tov too. Since a crucial element in Yom Tov is the celebration of the Yom Tov, surely then, the lingering light that carries on after Yom Tov would be also the light of celebration and happiness. That's what we need to keep in mind, that we don't only take along with us after Yom Tov the message of the Yom Tov. I'll illustrate, for example, the idea of freedom on Pesach, the idea of being a nation of Torah after Shavuos, the message of the Yom Tov. That's not all that we take along. We also take along the light of the celebration of Yom Tov, which is such a crucial component of the Yom Tov itself.